What's the deal with this?
Deal? What are you saying?
Deal.
Deal?
I don't see what the big deal is, you know? It's not that great.
Good deal. You won't regret it.
What's the deal, son? What do you have going?
All right, look, here's the deal.
What do you say we're making some deal?
Andrew Tavacoli, founder and CEO of Retail Match, says, and I quote, "Over my three decades in commercial real estate, I've seen countless shopping centers fail because they don't draw the right businesses, or even the right combination of tenants in that center. Algorithms have been bringing couples together for decades, so why aren't they matching tenants to landlords? Retail Match is the matchmaker that identifies vacant retail spaces and scores them based on the businesses, location, demographics, and competition for expanding retailers and restaurateurs, and have increased their coverage area to represent landlords, agents, and tenants in 15 of the country's top MSAs. Retail Match uses over 20 different data sources and 200 variables to identify and vet vacant spaces, scoring against demographics, lifestyle attributes, labor, traffic, and more, optimizing the score with gap and void analysis. Today on the show, I'm speaking with Andrew Tavacoli, founder and CEO of Retail Match. Retail Match was launched in response to demand for customers wanting to find the perfect location for their retail business. I am your host, Ryan Cox, managing partner at Founders Grove Capital. And welcome to the Real Estate Innovators, a podcast that explores innovation in commercial real estate with technology, design, and development. We celebrate the companies and innovators who are changing the business of commercial real estate and are inspiring the future of how we work, live, and play. I asked Andrew about his background and what led to the founding of Retail Match.
Let me tell you briefly about my background. I started in commercial real estate back in 87. Started with syndicating apartment projects, and then over the years delved into different product types. And since early 90s, I have put most of my focus on retail shopping centers. And we own a portfolio of shopping center office buildings and other product types throughout the Sun Belt and Smile States. A typical shopping center for us is about 100,000 square feet. And obviously, having been in this market for such a long time, one of the most important challenges and where you create tremendous value is leasing up to sustainable tenants. And that is a challenge that the leasing agents have, the landlords have, and so do the retailers, to find the right location that they can, that's the right match for them, and they can keep a sustainable business, a profitable business. And having worked with many leasing agents nationwide, and also on the other end, not only are we a landlord, I have owned retail businesses, and they have been nationwide in many states. So I have had the retailer perspective as well, trying to observe and expand locations. And just to step back for a second, I did start as a broker back in 87. So I do have somewhat of that perspective as well, knowing what a broker looks for. And we thought the typical way right now that a broker, a leasing agent looks for a tenant or a landlord such as us is we find the best leasing agents in the area, in a region, and we tell them, we lease the property with them, and we basically ask them to find us tenant for the vacancies that we have that are sustainable, that are we can negotiate the best deal short of losing a tenant, that would be a complement and a synergetic traffic generator for the center. And ultimately, what we are looking for is trying to optimize our rental revenues.
Andrew has been focused on retail investments since the early 1990s and has experience as a retailer. I asked Andrew about how his experience has shaped his decision-making over the years leading up to the founding of Retail Match.
We saw more of a bifurcation as which has been happening since early 80s, of income. And that obviously affects shopping patterns, shopping habits, and shopping purchasing power. And so we saw this evolution slowly happening during 80s and getting a bit more traction in 90s and really picked up the pace in 2000. And of course, it's got real sustainability over the past decade, which is the bifurcation of income of what used to be considered the middle class going and shopping at real value stores, whether it's Ross or dollar stores, and or the income segment that caters to the very high-end brands, and that middle portion being really squeezed. And we are seeing those in stores like Macy's, for example, or many other middle-class catering businesses that have been shut down. And that's one aspect of it. The other aspect, obviously, is the millennials, which moved into the city centers. That affected, obviously, some of the secondary market and tertiary market. You saw tremendous demand for apartments in city centers. And when they are out in the city, they are not out there in the suburbs. And the third thing was that there was overbuilding during the 2000s of retail. And they followed all these single-family residence new construction. And there was overbuilding of the retail. Obviously, in the U.S., we have the highest square footage of retail per individual by far than any other country, developed country in the world. So that's one portion of it. Then the issue of e-commerce has come into fore, makes it a lot more convenient for people to order commodities primarily. Some of the customization or some of the experiential still is not being taken over by e-commerce. Some things simply cannot be taken over by e-commerce, such as service or service-oriented or other experiential businesses. And when we talk about e-commerce taking, or let me frame it this way, when we are talking about retail, a big portion of retail, quote-unquote, is not materials that they're selling. They're services, whether it be a hair salon or, you know, a nail salon or an insurance agent, or whether it's a gym or animal care center or an urgent care center, or many other evolutions that has happened over the past decade or so by taking, let's say, urgent care center or medical center from medical offices and putting them in the neighborhoods. And so that evolution has happened over the past few years. E-commerce still is a very small portion of overall shopping and retail experience out there in the brick and mortar. E-commerce, in fact, is a very small percentage of overall retail, if you consider retail not just products, but also services and experiences.
A large number of commercial real estate tech firms are being created by founders with only a few years of commercial real estate experience or an engineering background with an appetite for disruption. I asked Andrew how his 30-plus years of experience in commercial real estate gave him an advantage in the data and software-driven world.
If you look at all those vacancies that are out there, and retail has evolved over decades. I mean, this is nothing new. Over the past 100 years from the evolution of Sears doing catalogs and then opening stores. And at that some point, they thought they're going to take over the world. They didn't. They were basically capped at 8% of the market on the product side. And then they opened actually stores and distribution centers, which led to additional stores. And so that's just starting going back almost 100 years ago. If you look back at brands, every generation, a big chunk of those retails evolve. So you don't see the same retailers out there that you saw 30 years ago. The majority of them have changed, evolved. So the shopping stays has stayed pretty consistent because we are a consumer-based society. What has evolved, though, is because of a little bit because of e-commerce, and I don't want to overemphasize e-commerce, because they talk about e-commerce being about 10% of retail, well, and Amazon being a big portion of it, but that 10% also includes e-commerce portion of what Walmart is selling, or what the other stores as such are competing with, trying to compete with Amazon. But that 10% is products. When you look at the overall retail segment, when I include services and other occupants of shopping centers, that really drops down to about 3% of the overall shopping center or storefront, if you will. So it's still a very small portion. It's growing rapidly, but it's growing from a very small base. But overall, where you really make the money is at the storefront. Remember, e-commerce is still a very expensive proposition where you have to package, you have to warehouse, you have to ship, you have to return, you have to do all of those things. And that's why you're beginning to see a lot of e-commerce companies who are very growth-oriented without much profit, and the venture capital firms and the financial markets give them a lot of credence for that growth rather than profitability. Whereas in the storefront business, the retailers are out there for cash flow, are out there to make a profit. And that's where you really make the profit. That's why you see a lot of e-commerce are opening storefronts. And at some point a few years back, they were talking about omnichanneling, and the word has evolved over the years. The bottom line is when we see that, how do we fit the right business with the right storefront? That's really the key. And a lot of it is being dictated by the shopping patterns and habits of the millennials, as well as Gen X's, and what has happened with them coming to the city centers. And now that they're getting married, the first of millennials are getting married in the early 30s, they're moving to the secondary cities, to suburbs. So you're beginning to see homeownership again. You're beginning to see some of those secondary markets that have storefronts getting more of occupancy. And all of these are being orchestrated, integrated, through these waves and patterns that we are seeing on this population growth and shift of the shopping patterns, of the nature of the consumerism, and also owning things versus experiential portion of it, which amazingly, millennials, I don't see them being much different than the prior generation, except the technology has influenced some of those purchasing power. After all, in the last great recession we had, we saw a lot of millennials who were involved in tech business moving with their parents because of many reasons. And now they're forming their own family. And so they're repeating the prior generation experiences, going to suburbs for better schools, for safer neighborhoods, for forming a family in homes. And how can we help in Retail Match? Well, we are leveraging off our own experiences, owning properties, and having been on the retail side of it too. Looking at brokers who are working very hard, you know, there is leasing agents working hard, and some working quite smart, trying to find the right tenant for a vacancy. And that requires a lot of analytics. And after they have gone through this analytics, which might take them months, to try to find the right tenant for a vacancy, then they have to start negotiating. And there is also a lot of limitation because a lot of leasing agents are local. So they are usually limited to whom they know on their quote-unquote Rolodex from the experience that they have. And but a lot of them don't know the up-and-coming regional retailers that are looking to expand in other areas. And it is very difficult to keep on top of retailers who continuously say, we want to expand in the area, but they are not really doing it for a moment. So there is a disconnect and a gap between many facets of this retail growth and what the leasing agents know.
Retail Match is expediting access to data and helping landlords and tenants to understand that data while shortening the cycle to match the right tenant and landlord to help retailers grow. I asked Andrew about the effect that Retail Match has made on the retailers and landlord strategy and execution.
In other words, what we are doing is that we are finding a perfect match, quote unquote, and we score them. We score those based on the match criteria, and we use many huge number of data points, and whether at the for the shopping centers, looking at typical demographics and traffic flow and ingress egress and specific issues related to the property, parking, site plans, and even maintenance and age and height, ceiling heights. And then we look at population growth. And then we look at, those are just on the shopping center side of it. And these are just few factors of what I indicated. There are a lot more to that. On the retail side, what we are ultimately looking for is making sure that they are set up for success and that they're sustainable tenants in a shopping center, because that's, after all, what everybody wants. The retailers want to be sustainable and profitable. The landlords want to make sure that the tenants are sustainable so they can pay the rent. And the leasing agents who are able to support this process have, in effect, done a great service to both landlord and tenant, who are going to, you know, get a great reputation and continue doing great business. And that bifurcation, I believe, is also going to happen in the leasing arena as well. That you see, right now it takes anywhere between 3 to 4 months or even 6 months to find the appropriate tenant and start connecting with them and finding who is the right match for a center. And a lot of it is done based on guesswork and some analytics that is done right now through sources, whether it be CoStar or other companies out there that are providing raw data, and the brokers, agents do analytics. And then what we are doing is, in effect, taking those months down to almost instantaneous. And where the brokers and leasing agents come in, it relieves them of that effort and guesswork and gives them the opportunity to work what they're really good at, which is to work on the relationship of trust with the landlord and the tenants whom they represent, and free up their time to expand their network. And because they have been able to successfully match the tenant and the landlord for sustainable success, then their reputation only gets better. And that's what I'm talking about, bifurcation of leasing agents as well. And this is how we support the retail and storefront industry. And we believe that perhaps we might be a few steps ahead of the crowd, because after all, commercial property is quote-unquote a dinosaur industry, and the adaptation and adaptation of technology is very difficult unless it's really simplified and it is solution-oriented. rather than the arduous process of having people to try to figure things out for themselves and going through the complex analytics, both from the leasing side or the retailer side.
Retail Match is leveraging over 20 data sources and over 200 variables to score retail locations for retailers. With this treasure trove of data accumulating, I asked Andrew how Retail Match demonstrates ROI and success measurements post-lease.
We actually have what is called the RM score, Retail Match score. And so we score sustainability of success for a retailer coming to a particular vacancy in a particular shopping center. And based on that scoring, our algorithm basically, which is quite complex, determines that sustainability. And I suppose the proof will be in the pudding. We are fairly new to the market. I mean, it takes years to find out and affirm to affirm that. But I can tell you that having been in this business for over 30 years and owning quite a few shopping centers ourselves, that we are using it and we are finding it to be effective.
Putting the power of data and analytics into retailers' hands, I asked Andrew about Retail Match's business model and plans for growth.
We are providing the service as we are going. You know, right now, we have expanded into 15 markets. We are providing and working with selected clients, and we are working with them closely to go get all of their feedback and make sure that we are responsive to that. And we, in effect, make sure that our hypothesis that we have done that has somewhat been proven, that it keeps getting fine-tuned as we go forward. As we are growing, our algorithm gets and our data, as well as our matching criterias, are being fine-tuned, are being expanded. The criteria that we are using are, again, being layered over. So there are approximately, if you would, about 200 industries out there. Plus, if you define the nail salon as being one industry, a hair salon being another industry that can occupy storefront. And so we are really delving into that and trying to distinguish between all of them and what makes them successful. And then, of course, you got the demographic issue and socioeconomic issues, that you can have a very high end and then you can have a very low end catering to, let's say, the working class, or and then all between. And then there are issues of population shift and growth or decline and the purchasing power. So all of those factors and many, many other factors go into the equation and the algorithm determining what the outcome is in terms of sustainable success for each individual match.
As Retail Match moves out of its beta phase and expands into major markets across the United States, I asked Andrew what success looks like for Retail Match in 2018.
We'd like and we expect by end of this year to actually grow to more than those 15 markets. We'd like to have had many landlords and many retailers to the extent possible to be our customers, so we can help them, and also agents, leasing agents, so they begin to become familiar with this new business model that we're doing and see how easier it is to make a living being in this industry. And it doesn't have to be so complex and so complicated. what we are doing is complex, but it is not complicated. It is quite complex, but we have brought it down to its simplest element. So all they have to do is go in there, and we help them. We have a customer support service here helping them enter the data and and of course, all of their rent roll is confidential. Nothing is exposed to the public. It is just making sure that we find the right complement and synergetic tenants for them in their vacancies. And we are here to help them. If they give us their rent roll, we do all the work for them. And currently it's free. So it's a fantastic opportunity for both agents, landlords, as well as retailers to give us a try and see the results that they will get. They might be askance because there is nothing quite like it, but I think they would be delighted.
As site selection and the evolution of commercial real estate technology advance out of what is probably the first or second inning, I asked Andrew for his thoughts on where we are in the next 3 to 5 years.
I think that the evolution of technology adopted by commercial real estate is quite slow. Just because of the commercial real estate, some say it's the second biggest industry after residential of all the sectors. I believe that it is actually probably the biggest industry. And retail is the biggest of the product type within the commercial real estate. And that is hard to fathom, but it is fact. It's statistically true and factually the case. Now, what will happen as people become, I still think that the hockey stick analogy applies here, that as people become more and more comfortable, and it might take more than a few months, but once they see how easy it is to use these particular solutions, and we are a solution, we are not tools. We are actually providing them solutions. So the human elements can come into play, which is working on the relationship of trust and working, building their network, because they already have the solution of sustainable tenants in particular vacancies. Once they actually become comfortable with that and the relationship and the trust factor and credibility of what we are providing for them is affirmed by them, then I believe that momentum will kick in. Now, as I said, our wish was that this would happen sooner because it truly benefits the industry. But I believe the reality is that it's going to take a few more months and perhaps 2 or 3 more years than we expect before it gets momentum and the hockey stick kicks in for the greater community of retailers out there, as well as the shopping center owners and the leasing agents who work with both sides.
Great to connect with Andrew Tavacoli of Retail Match today. Retail Match is a retail success analytics firm based in Los Angeles, California, and founded in 2015 to help retailers identify ideal spots for expansion. Their demographic data, provided by Experian, is updated quarterly and consists of more than 200 variables. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Want daily interviews with real estate investors and none of the fluff? Go to bestevershow.com, where Joe Fairless interviews daily real estate investors and entrepreneurs about their best advice ever. Go to bestevershow.com.
And that concludes our show. I am excited to follow Andrew and Retail Match's technology and data-driven approach to site selection grow in 2018. You can find out more about Andrew and Retail Match in the show notes. Please subscribe to the Real Estate Innovators and leave a review wherever you subscribe to podcasts, which helps us grow our audience. You can find out more about me and Founders Grove Capital at foundersgrovecapital.com. Until next time, innovators.